starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've give up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to SBS News.
Shipping traffic through the Strait of Hormuz remains at a virtual standstill, with President Trump ordering US forces to shoot and kill Iranian vessels laying mines in the strait. The US military says it seized another tanker associated with smuggling Iranian oil in the Indian Ocean. The US and Iran had declared the strait open on Friday, April the 17th, but Iran reimposed control on Saturday. Tehran said it was responding to a continued US blockade of Iranian ports, calling it a violation of their ceasefire. So will we ever see a return to normal shipping and trade once the strait reopens? In this episode of Weekend One-on-One, we hear from Alexis Ellender, Senior Lead Analyst at the maritime data firm Kipler.
So what we saw over the weekend was there was this initial announcement whereby the Iranians said the Strait of Hormuz was open. This is obviously good news for shipping. We saw a rush of vessels heading towards, kind of going from west to east, looking to exit the Strait of Hormuz. And we did see a large number of vessels leaving. So when I say a large number, far below normal transits. We saw about 18 tankers, bulkers, and sort of liquids carriers leaving. We also saw, I think it was about 5 cruise ships as well, went out in convoy. But these mainly left between sort of midnight, and early in the morning. And then after which we saw sort of another announcement from the Iranians saying, you know, that the straits were not open. The US blockade was continuing. And what we then observed through the vessel tracking was that a number of vessels were starting to head, turned back.
Will we ever get back to normal?
We are a long way off returning to sort of normal trade through the Strait of Hormuz. And I think what's been particularly damaging was that we had a kind of a yes, you're okay to go. And then it all kind of ground to a halt very quickly, which means next time we get this, people are probably going to wait a bit longer. If you're trapped within the sort of the Middle East Gulf, you will make a rush for the exit, as we saw. But in terms of vessels going back into the region, potentially to load a cargo of crude oil or fertilizer, people will be very, very cautious.
What sort of time scale are we talking about?
This is very hypothetical right now, but we're talking about months. So what would we expect at the moment? You know, we've got very low level of transits. It's very much a controlled voyages. If we, for example, get a kind of, and I think what it would really take would be like a kind of a formal ceasefire, we'll start to see maybe a pick up of transits over the course of a month, where you'll maybe see about 25% of normal flows. And that will be kind of big companies, you know, going in to load crude oil, mainly tankers and some more dry bulk carriers. And if that continues without hitch, we will then probably after about a month go into another kind of month and a half period where you maybe flows will kind of be what we call a watch and wait, and you'll probably see about 30 to 50% of normal traffic. And that's when you'll probably see the first container ships going through, the first LNG carriers going through. And again, this is if everything continues sort of without incident, without ships being attacked or any kind of further escalation. After a kind of a month and a half of that, we will then get to a kind of a normalization phase, which we think will probably take another 2.5 months after that, where you'll kind of see a closer return to normal trade. But I think it's important to say things will not return to the pre-war conditions. So, for example, your maritime insurance for going into the region will remain higher. There probably will be a risk premium if you want to do voyages. Very similarly in that, you know, if you want to trade in the Black Sea, there is a risk premium on rates there. There will be a risk premium for the Middle East Gulf. And I expect that will persist for the long term. And when I say long term, I mean probably years.
So will we start to see impacts in areas other than just fuel supply?
Definitely. And I think there's a couple of ways to look at it. The first is something like fertilizers, which was kind of being talked about quite a bit recently. But we're talking about crops that people are either only just planting or even the crop decisions for next year. So, for example, in the US, farmers are making planting decisions now between corn and soybeans. Soybeans requires less fertilizer, so they'll probably plant more of it. In other places, for example, in South Asia, for example, lack of availability to fertilizers will directly impact the volume of crops. So that will impact not this calendar year, but also next calendar year. The other one, for example, is with fuel. So diesel shortages have been a big issue again. For example, in Bangladesh, diesel in order to power the irrigation systems. So that will then impact the crop that is harvested several months down the line. The challenge the market has is there is a lot of short-term effects, but I think this will drag on. And certainly we don't expect, as I said, a return to normal trading condition any time in the near term, even if we do see an end to the conflict, because ultimately merchant shipping is very risk averse. And I think there is particularly a divergence between the risk appetite of the shipping industry and what a lot of the politicians and the ex-military pundits believe the appetite of the shipping industry. And it's actually quite low.
So the US has been attacking Iran's port infrastructure. So what impact will that have?
It's very hard to get accurate information out of either, obviously, the Iranian ports and obviously in the Middle East countries as well are controlling the data flow. So my understanding is that although there have been attacks on the ports, the damage to the infrastructure there is not significant. However, it's when we move up the supply chain. So the damage to energy infrastructure, the exports that are going to be coming out. So the example is with a lot of the aluminium industry in the Middle East Gulf, they've had their power supply interrupted. Now, if you have a forced shutdown of an aluminium smelter, it takes months to restart it, get everything up and going. And that's when you have the energy supply. So yes, there has been some damage to ports, but I think that is not going to be the bottleneck. The bottleneck is going to be, everything else getting the rest of the industry up and running. But I think also there'll be a reaction from the other economies in the region. So, for example, the Gulf countries, Saudi Arabia, they've seen, the vulnerability of trading via, the Strait of Hormuz. They will probably look to diversify their trade routes. So, for example, for oil, potentially overland pipelines, for something like containers, expanding the ports that are outside of the Strait of Hormuz. So there are things that those countries can do to mitigate. And I think they, having seen the events of recent weeks, they will definitely invest in doing that.